Today's Shir in Sech Babam Tziya, Daf Nun Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The Mishnah taught us that Shem Echinam doesn't swear Alagdashis. In order to begin the next piece of Gemara, we have to review quickly how it worked every year as people donated the Machsa Shekel. There's a mitzvah the same with the Raisa, that everybody has to contribute every year a machsa shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, this mitzvah only applies when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, everybody had to contribute, even those that lived in Chutz La'aretz. And on Rosh Chodesh Adar, they would make an announcement that everybody has to prepare to give a machsa shekel. And on the 15th day of Adar, that's when they actually started collecting. On the 25th day of Adar, they used to take a mashkin from anyone who hasn't given. The shkolim were brought to the base of Migdash, and in the base of Migdash there were shofars, there were boxes in which they put the shkolim. There was one box that said Taklin Chadatin. New coins, the coins that were brought that year, and the other box said Taklin Atikin, which were coins that were there for people who hadn't brought the coin last year. This is where they were able to deposit this year's coin. The people didn't have to bring the coins themselves. They could send, which is going to be what we're going to be discussing now, you could send your coin with a shliach to base HaMikdash, and the coins were taken from those coins. They used to take three times a year, before Pesach, before Shavuos, and before Sukkos. They used to take from those coins to use for the karbonis and other needs that they had, and then the leftover coins could not be used the next year, but they had different purposes. So the Mishnah Masechet Shkalim teaches us, if the people of a city collected all the machsa shekels, but they weren't traveling, they sent the shekels with a shliach, and then nignavu or shavdu, the coins got stolen or lost. If this happened that they didn't know about this geneva or aveda until they already took out from the new coins in the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha is, Nishbaran leGezbarim, the shlichim who this happened to would make a shvuah to the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash that they weren't negligent in the way that they brought, in the way that they were delivering these coins. Memlaf, but if it was before they took off the new coins, Nishbaran leBnei Ir, they would have to swear to the people of their city that they did everything as they were supposed to do. And then the pity of the people of that city would have to donate machsa shekel again, because as we're going to learn, only if the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash would take off coins, they would have in mind not just for the coins that were there, but even for the coins that were on the way, and even for the coins that were lost. But that's if they took them off already. Here, as we just learned, they hadn't taken them off. Nimtzu, if after the money was lost, or the ganovim returned them, elav elu shoiklim heim, shkolim heim, the people of that city had already donated new shkolim. It doesn't make a difference, the shkolim that they had donated, plus the shkolim that they had given a second time, are both considered a machsa shekel. And, says the Mishnah, vein oilam hem l'shon haba, they cannot be used for next year. There's no credit. The Sefer Hoyin Asher makes an observation. First, the Mishnah spoke about nignavu and then avdu, stolen or lost. And now the Mishnah spoke about found and then given back by the ganef. Why is there inconsistency? So he answers, Geneva, that it should be stolen, is more likely than it should be lost. The people who were bringing the shkolim were careful, obviously, and therefore that came first. When it comes to finding them, it's more likely to find them than a ganav giving them back. So now that we have both coins in front of us, so I saw that the Rishonim say the new coin, if this is before the new coins, it's before the new coins were actually put into a box, the coins that the first coins were put into Taklin Charatin, that we spoke about that box before, and the second coins were the ones that were put into Taklin Atikin. But we see from here that the Shluchim did swear to Hegdish or to the people of the city. But we just learned in our Mishnah that Einish Baam Lakadashis, says the Gemara, Amishmul, the case that the Mishnah is referring to there is Hachem Anaisa Sachar Eskinen. There the Mishnah is referring to a Shomer Sachar. And since we're speaking about a Shomer Sachar, the purpose of him getting paid, swearing, is for a whole different purpose. And that is Litul Scharon, to be able to collect their salary. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if they want to collect the salary and they have to swear that they weren't Pasheya, and that's why they're deserving of the salary, so ask the Gemara in the Shgarim, the Zbarim, why would they be swearing to the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Hegdash, the Bnei Yimibayle, they should be swearing to the people who sent them and owed them the money, that means the people of the city. Answers the Gemara, Amarava. Amarava, indeed. Nishba'an l'bnei ir. The shvuah that they have to make is to the people of the city who sent them. But that shvuah is made by Maimon HaGezborim, in the presence of the Hegdish administrators, Keichad d'loin d'shdenu, that the people of the city should not come to suspect that the administrators did not do their job properly. Vinami, another purpose, Keichad l'alikulu p'shim, that the people should recognize that they did everything as was supposed to be. And what that means is that the Hegdish wanted to make sure that the city did what's right. And I saw that the Rambam explains what does it mean that they want to make sure the city did what's right. That they did was that they pointed Shomrim to bring the coins who are Shomrei Sachar, not people who are Shomrei Chinam. Because as we keep on learning in our Masechta, obviously a Shomrei Sachar is much more responsible than a Shomrei Chinam. So they wanted to make sure that the right people and the right type of Shomrim were appointed to do this job. Ask the Gemara, why would we think that they should get paid? The shkolim they were bringing was stolen or lost. The shem sachar b'gneva aveda chayuv mechayiv. A shem sachar becomes chayiv. There was gneva aveda. V'achinami. And even if we'll say here ne the shlumi l'mishalmi, they don't have to pay by gneva aveda, as we discussed in our previous year. The halacha of shomrim doesn't apply by hegdish, but a grayu miyamafsit. They certainly should lose their salary. So why are we saying that they're going to get paid, that they have to swear in order to get paid? The halacha should be that at least they should be potter, they should not get their salary because they did not do their job as was supposed to be done. They weren't careful with Geneva and Vaveda. Amar Rabba, the reason why they are entitled to get paid, because Nignava Ballista Mazun, that there was an armed robber of the Shvitov B'sunos B'yam, or the reason it got lost is because the ship drowned, something that was completely beyond their control. Rabbi Yochanan says the answer to why they make a shvua is a different answer altogether. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hamani, who is the Tan of that Mishnah? The Tan of that Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. That Mishnah represents the opinion of Shimon. Damash Kotcha Chayiv B'Chuyuson, Yesh L'Manah, as we discussed the other day, that if it's a carbon, that if somebody donated a carbon, and the way he donated the carbon is that he took personal responsibility, that if anything's going to happen to that animal, he said, hooray, a lie, he's going to have to replace that carbon. So it's not considered mamon hegdish, because the owner is going to have to replace it. Here too, it's considered, since the city people are going to have to replace it under certain circumstances. So just like we learned of Shimon holds, chai b'chor yosom yeshlam anah, and nishbon aleim. Therefore, this is a case, the coach of Shimon, even though it's hegdish, you would have to swear. But as the Gemara, we understand, ha-tenech atshib la-initra turma. As we just quoted the Mishnah said there's a difference if they had already taken off truma or not. So if they hadn't taken off truma, and that's when the halacha will require that the people of the city have to replace the shkolim. So it's understandable why they would have to swear, why the shliachim would have to swear. They're swearing to the people of the city who they have will now have to have a financial loss in replacing the coin. But ask the Gemara, Mishanitra Truma. But once the Truma was taken off, so the halacha is that once the Truma is taken off, it's Kachem Shenechai B'Chiyusunanu. As we learned, they will not be held responsible. If they're not going to be held responsible for anything that happened, why should they have to swear? It's regular Kachem. The Tanya, as we quoted this Brisa earlier, the Brisa teaches us that when the administrators would take out shkolim from these boxes, that they were going to use those shkolim to buy animals or whatever, al ovid, they have in mind for any money that was stolen, al gavui, on people who sent, for people who had sent their money, but it had not yet arrived, val osid, voice, on money that was going to be collected that hadn't even been collected. So we see that Rav Shimon should on this money agree that there's no shvua. Elam Rav Elazar, says Rav Elazar, correct. The halacha ought to be, even according to Rav Shimon, under these circumstances, that no shvua should have to be made. Why is the shvua made? It's a new halacha. Shvua zu, takanas chachami, it's special rule that Chazal made, that kadesh lo b'nei adam mal zalzal b'kadeshus. Chazal were concerned that people should show the proper respect for Hegdish. And what that means is that if people are going to realize that if you lose something of Hegdish or something that you're watching of Hegdish gets lost, you're not going to really be held responsible. People won't take it that seriously. So in order to avoid that problem, Chazal took this point and here introduced a new shvua. The Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his sefer Tamar Dekra says it's very interesting if we look at the wording in the Torah when the Torah speaks about a shay mechinam versus a shay mesacha. By shay mechinam it says v'nikra ba'al bayis el olehim im lo shalach yadav v'malach sreyu. By the shay mesacha the Torah says shvuos Hashem tia ben shneim. So he explains that as we just learned in our Gemara, under certain circumstances, the Shoy Mesachar is not entitled to his salary. So that means when the Shoy Mesachar does make a Shvua, two things are happening. One is that he will be not obligated for the object that he was watching, and one is to collect the salary. And that's why the Pasuk says, "Well, Shvuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneim," because the Shvu by Shoy Mesachar. Because the Shoy Mesachar accomplishes two things with that Shvua. By Shoy Mechinim, all the Shvua accomplishes is that he should not be held responsible. So that's why it says it's B'loshon Yochid, V'nikra Balabayis El Elohim. The Mishnah said that a Noyse Sachar ain't a Mishalim. Noyse Sachar doesn't pay, Shoy Mesachar doesn't pay on Geneva Aveda of Avodim Shtar V'Akakos. Says the Gemara, Ramalei Rabbi Yosef Mecham L'Rava. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Shem Noisa Socher Eina Mishalim. If a Shem Socher was watching something and it got if it was stolen or lost, he wouldn't have to pay Hegdish. Ask the Gemara of Rimini. So a word of introduction here too. One of the big areas of dispute between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Tzedakim was regarding the Parah Aduma. The Chachmei Yisrael held that a person who was Tamei and just went to the mikveh today, such an individual is called a Tful Yoim, and under normal circumstances, a person who's a Tful Yoim is not considered Tahor until he goes to the mikveh at night, until he has Harif Shemesh. But and the Tzedakim disagreed. But because, so what happened was, Chazal instituted that the Kohen who brought the Parah Aduma should specifically be a Tful Yoim. But because they did not want that people should become lax in the preparation of the Parah Aduma, they brought the Parah Aduma in kalim, in vessels that are not Mekabel Tuma, Glolim, Kliavonim, and they also took a Kohen who was pure from the day he was born. They would take a person who was from when his mother was pregnant, only walked on places and only was exposed to places where she could never have become passably tamei. So says the Braisa, if you hire a worker to watch the Parah Aduma, that it shouldn't have any mum in it. Lishmer Satinak, to watch the child that we just identified, that he should be in Tahara. Lishmer Sazroim, every year on the second day of Pesach, they brought the Karban Omer. And they, what happened was that they had to protect Karban Omer, especially in the Shemitah year. In the Shemitah year when nobody is planting, but you need barley to bring the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach. So they used to have people watch that nothing should grow. That Omer, that barley that they want to use, nobody should take it. Of course, Tosfos asked the question that if it's a Shemitah year, then why are you allowed to watch? The halacha is that Shomer, that anything that's watched in the Shemitah year is prohibited. So one teretz, Tosfos says, that the purpose was to watch it from animals. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests, it wasn't an act of protection. Just anybody who wanted to take it, because the halacha is that anything grows in the Shemitah year, anybody could take. What they used to do was, they used to tell people, you should know this is being reserved for Shemitah, and that would keep people away from it. Another pshat that the Rishash says, that the reason when is Shomer Osir in the Shemitah year? Shomer is Osir in the Shemitah year if it's protected by the owners of that field. Here, as we just learned, it wasn't protected by the owners of the field. It was protected by these Shomrim that were appointed by the Beis HaMikdash. So now what the Gemara begins to discuss is that they were watching these fields 24-7. And if they were watching the field 24-7, there's obviously a Shabbos included. It says the Gemara, Ein Oslam Shachar Shabbos. You're not allowed to get paid for Shabbos. Lefikach, Ein Chai Shabbos Olav. If something happened on Shabbos, they wouldn't be held responsible. Hoyeschir Shabbos. If the person was getting paid by the week, Schir Chodesh, he's getting paid by the month. Schir Shani is getting paid by the year. Schir Shavua, getting paid for all 7 years of the Shemitah cycle at the same time. Noisnoi Schir Shabbos. Then he is allowed to get paid for Schir Shabbos, because that's called Havlah. He's getting paid not for Shabbos specifically. And therefore, Lefikach, he will, Achrayis, if anything happened on Shabbos, Achrayis Olav. Says the Gemara, what is the Pshari Ma'alav L'Shalim? That if something's going to happen, since he's a Shomer Sachar, he'll be held responsible. But we're learning now, we've been learning that by Hegdish, these halachas, ask the Gemara, don't apply. Says the Gemara, no, the purpose is not to teach us that there's Gneva Vaveda, etc., because we're learning by Hegdish that doesn't apply. The issue here is Lahafsid Scharai. The person loses his salary, as we learned earlier. If the Shomer Sachar didn't do his job correctly, he doesn't get paid. Says the Gemara, if that's what's meant, Ihachi reish the tani in a cry Shabbos alav hachnami the laughs at tcharoi. Are we going to say that he's not responsible for when Shabbos comes that he doesn't lose his salary or misle ischa Shabbos? What, you can't lose something you don't have. So what's the Mishnah? What's the Brisa saying? Ask the Gemara that you're not going to get your salary for Shabbos. You don't get your salary for Shabbos, and you're not going to be. You will or won't be held responsible. Of course, you're not responsible. You're not working. But Tani ain't no ischa Shabbos. So there's no issue of getting salary. Ishtik. So Rava remained silent. He didn't have an answer. Amalei. So Rav Yosef said to Bachama, Midish Shmielach Baha. Do you have maybe an answer to this question? Amalei. Hachem Rav Sheshes. The way to understand the Brisa is B'shikana Miyadai. That there was a kinyan that obligated the Shomer. Since there was a kinyan, since the kinyan to Hegdish was, since obligation was done with a kinyan, so once there's a kinyan, so that gives him a high level of responsibility, even if this belongs to Hegdish. The Kena Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and so did Rabbi Yochanan explain that the case over here that we are referring to is B'shikana B'yadai. So here we're learning the halacha of Schir Shabbos. And the halacha of Schir Shabbos teaches us that a person who works cannot get paid for Shabbos work, and the only way that he can get paid for working on Shabbos is with havlah. That means if he's getting paid for the whole week. And that's the way the Ramah paskins the halacha is that havlah. But the Ramah says that even when we think about havlah, that he's getting paid by the week, by the month, whatever, if the way the salary is established, that he's going to pay him at the end of a week, at the end of a month, at a daily rate, the work is considered a schir yoim. Since he's getting paid for Shabbos, because when the calculation for a salary is made, it's made on a daily rate, that's still considered a schir Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says that if he didn't do his job right, he loses his salary. The Beis David says that when the Shomer did not properly guard whatever he was supposed to do on Shabbos, he only loses one day. But he's entitled for all the other days, because we're learning now that everything is, if it's calculated on a daily basis, he should get paid. The Tumim disagrees. And he says, again, he goes back to the Ramah. The Ramah is really a Ran. And he says that it depends how he's getting paid. If he's getting paid, it depends how we do the calculation. If the calculation is a weekly salary, so indeed, maybe he wouldn't get the weekly salary. But if he's getting paid, the way we make the calculation at the end of the week is by the day, he would only lose that day. This halacha is the basis for the question of how could somebody get paid for a job which is done on Shabbos on Yom Tov. And therefore, the Torah quotes his brother that says that the Mordechai that says that there's a problem for about tefillah or about tekeya who work on Shabbos, and therefore the question is what should they do? And that's where the minute came that the about tefillah of the Yom Naroyim also davens the first night sliches or he davens Erev Rosh Hashanah, and then he's getting paid Bavlo. But this is actually a machloikis rishonim. If even when a mitzvah is being done, do we say the concept of schar Shabbos? And therefore, the Chai Adam, for example, says that if somebody hired waiters to do work for him on Shabbos, what he should do is make sure that he works a little before Shabbos and a little after Shabbos, and therefore you'll have havlah. And that's why he also says that the halacha would be so with a babysitter. If you hired a babysitter to watch your children on Shabbos, they should do something during the week, so it should be havlah. The Paiskim also discuss if you rented a car for Shabbos, and somebody rents a car for Shabbos, or rents a hotel room, you should, in all these cases, be careful that the that you should pay not just for Shabbos work, because otherwise there's a problem. Otherwise, as we're learning that here, there would be a real issue. There would be a real issue of Schar Shabbos. I saw the question that I saw very interesting that the Paiskim discuss is when we speak about this issue of Schar Shabbos, is it an issur for the employee to take Schar Shabbos, or is it an issur on the employer to pay Schar Shabbos? And it seems that the Paiskim are of an agreement that the primary, that there's an issur even on the employer to pay, even to employer to pay the Schar Shabbos. We've been learning throughout our shir that a shayma sacher who did not do his job properly, the halacha says that that shayma sacher who didn't do his job properly has to pay for, loses his salary. So the Chashukei Chemed has an interesting discussion. What's going to be the halacha if a shayma sacher clearly did not do his job properly, but even though he didn't do his job properly, he was lucky and nothing happened? Will he be held responsible? Will he be entitled to collect his salary or not? On one hand, the person who asked him to do this job could say, you didn't do your job properly. On the other hand, he says that I return to you what you gave me, and since I return to you what you gave me, I should not be held responsible. So from here, he wants to bring a raya that our Gemara is a raya that if he didn't do his job properly, even though nothing happened, he's going to be held responsible. And he says an interesting svara, because our Gemara is focused that if somebody didn't do the job properly, he won't get paid. Now let's think about it. If he didn't do the job properly, he didn't do the job properly for one day of the week. Why should that affect his entire salary? So from here we see that if a person doesn't do his job properly, not only will he be deprived of his salary for the days that he didn't do his job properly, but he will even be deprived for the days that he did his job properly and nothing happened. So certainly in a case where he didn't do his job properly at all, the halacha will be that he'll be held responsible. The Paiskim, Rav Moshe and the Igros Moshe and the Michas Yitzchak, both discuss a situation when we speak about Schar Shabbos. The halacha is that you're not allowed to make money for Shabbos. And as we discussed a few moments ago, you're not allowed to make money on a daily rate, even if it's Schar Shabbos. So the question comes up, people earn money, interest, in a bank, and interest is compounded daily. So if interest is compounded daily, the question is, why is that not considered Tzchar Shabbos? So both Rav Moshe and the Michas Yitzchak say, the way interest is paid according to the calendar date, which according to the non-Jewish calendar, begins at 12 a.m. of Friday night, and it goes till 12 a.m. Saturday night, Matzoi Shabbos. But on Matzoi Shabbos, it's this time that it's already after Shabbos, because you're only going to earn the interest at 12 o'clock Matzoi Shabbos. So since that's the case, says Rav Moshe, it's called Avla, because you're not getting paid just for Shabbos. The issue that comes up is when you have a two-day Yontif. So if you have a two-day Yontif, you could have a whole 24-hour period, which is Shabbos or Yontif. And there, in those cases, Rav Moshe says that one should calculate how much interest he made for that day, and that amount he should give to tzedakah to avoid the problem of Schar Shabbos. So says the Gemara, we quoted Rav Shimon's opinion earlier. We learned that there are different rules by Hegdish, but says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Omer, Kachim Shechai B'chor Yosam, if it's the type of kachim that I'm being held responsible, then yesh lemano. However, if it's kachim she'en echai b'chiyosam, that I'm not held responsible, ein lemano. Says the Gemara, Tana Tana kamed Rav Yitzchak bar Abba. The Tana taught us the following din. We speak often about a shomer who swears falsely about the thing that he was asked to watch, and then he admits. The halacha is that he has to bring, has to pay back keren v'chaimish and bring a carbon asham. So it says, kachim shechai b'chiyosam. If somebody donated the carbon by saying harei alai oila, then the halacha is that he's chai for carbon shvua. Sheni karben, because this is a case that the pasuk which speaks about this shvuas habikadon says nafish kisechto malam mal b'ashem v'kichesh. That the halacha is that there is shvuas habikadon in that case. However, kachim she'en chai b'chiyosam, we said areza ula, areza oila potter. Sheni karben b'misa v'kichesh. And the pasuk says the kichesh by misa b'kadon, and this kind of kachim you don't have to bring kachim. You don't have to bring karmen shvua. To which Rav Yitzchak by Abba asked the Tana Kapalaya, it should be just the opposite. Ipchem istabra, it should be just the opposite. If we're going to say that the pasuk is coming to exclude the chiyuv of karmen shvuas b'kadon, we should say. That's where he's potter, because that's a case where it's considered his own mammon. Kachim she'ena b'chiyusam, that's mammon hegdish, we should say that it makes more sense than that you should be a chiv carbon shvua by money that's yours versus money that's hegdish. And here the Bryce is saying just the opposite. Amalei, because of this question, he asked him, ask me, should I take this out from the Bryces? Kachim, where I'm going to be held responsible. Chayiv, that's why I'm chayiv a carbon shvua. This rabbi mishem v'kichesh. She'ena chayiv b'chiyosan potter. The matman b'yosav v'kichesh. That's the halacha. Since they're not considered your monument, there is no carbon shvua. Yudai me'afav machas sevatayra magos u'behema en lemano. Tanya b'yudai me'afav machas sevatayra. If somebody sells Sefer Torah, ein lemano. There's no din of ein lefisha ein ketz l'damer. There's no firm price to the value of a Sefer Torah. Behemim magalus ein lemano. Why is there no ein by an animal or by a diamond? Nesha adam writes from zavgam. Sometimes a person has another animal which is a perfect pair to this animal, or he has one earring. And he needs another earring. And this is the perfect pair. So there he's ready to pay more than it's really worth. Says the Gemara, Amaloi. Says the Gemara, V'loi kol adam roitz l'zavgan. You could say that in every situation that people want to match something up. And still, there's still halachas of a knob. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Hanich shivalei. Yes, there are many situations where you want to pair things up. But even though there are many situations where you want to pair things up, that's something that you would like to do, but it's not absolutely essential. Here, it's very important to you to be able to match them up. So many Rishonim say, as we've been learning Hilchos Einah, when we learn Hilchos Einah, we know that there's Einah both to the seller and to the buyer. But explain many the Rishonim that the concept of Lezavgum, they want to pair it up, only applies to the buyer. The buyer has one earring, he wants to pair up another earring. That isn't something that's important to the seller. And therefore, in this case, even though the Gemara is saying there is no Einah, because it's very valuable to meet a buyer, that wouldn't be to the seller. That comma. So the question is, to what point is there no Einah? Amar Meima Ad Kedei Demeim. Ad Kedei Demeim means double their price. It says the Gemara, Tanya b'yudabim say oimer, afa mechus sus v'sayif. Somebody sells a horse or a sword. Vatitum is a something to be used to protect yourself. Hamachama is time of war. Again, ein lemanah, there's no din alanah, neshesh b'chayin nefesh. Something that's absolutely so responsible, the halacha is that there's no price that you're limited with ein. The Sefer Torah Chaim says that only when the Gemara just said now that by an animal and by a magolus there's a knob, that's only by them, because it's only reason I'm willing to pay more is because Reutzler's Avgum. But when we speak about a Sefer Torah has no price, and there's never, I know, no matter what price of a Sefer Torah. Which is interesting, but the halach is that under certain circumstances, you are allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, and therefore, that's part of the consideration. And the question is, does that mean that the Sefer Torah does have a price? So I saw a psak from Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi says that even if you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, you're never allowed to sell it in an auction. So because of that, we see that Sefer Torah always has the special relationship. I did see that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach speaks about if there was a Sefer Torah that was found after the war. The Sefer Torah that was found after the war is possible to the degree that it can't be fixed. Could such a Sefer Torah be donated to a museum? Was that considered lowering the respect that we have to show to a Sefer Torah? And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that since this is a Sefer Torah that won't be able to be used, and if when it's being sold to the museum, the museum is going to agree in writing that the halacha is that the Sefer Torah has to be shown great respect. If it will be shown great respect in the museum, you could give it or sell it to the museum. Says the Mishnah. Kshem sheyesh einav. Just like there's another Mekach Memker, as we've been learning in our shiurim, that by Mekach Memker, when you do a transaction, we have halacha of einav. Kach einav bedvarim. The same thing is that there's einav bedvarim. That we have to be very careful how we speak to somebody else. And as I saw that the Shari Tshuva says, einav is not limited just to words. What the einav is anything that hurts a person is not allowed to be done. What does it mean? Shame. So I saw that the Sefer Chasdei David explains that even though einav is a very serious issur, as we've been learning, but just like there's no malchus, but einav is devarim, by einav for money, there's no malchus for einav is devarim, which actually represents a chiddush. Because when you do einav, a financial einav, so you can return, as we've learned many times, the amount that you cheated. But when you do einav with words, words don't go back. And the Mishnah is saying that even though words don't go back, there's no malchus for einav. L'yom eloy, a person shouldn't say, b'kama chavetzeh, how much are you interested in selling this object? But I know that I'm not interested in buying because there's many reasons. One reason is it's bothersome to the seller. Why did you bother the seller to ask him how much he's selling this for if you have no intention to buy it? Another thing is that people see me asking how much this is worth and then I walk out not buying it. So people start to assume that there must be something wrong with this. Because if there wasn't something wrong, and I asked the price for price, why did I walk out now? It must be because it's not of good quality. In Baal Tshuva, if you have a friend who's a Baal Tshuva, L'yoy Meloy, you're not allowed to say to him, Zechor Masecha Rishonim. Remember how you were before in the old days. Again, that's extremely bothersome. But if you want to tell him that he did wrong in order that he should start doing what's right, again, saying it in the right way is permissible. Furthermore, who ben gerim, if you have an individual who's a gerim, don't say to him, we'll remember what you fought, where you come from. Shenemar, as the Torah Kedoshah says, v'ger lo yisoina v'silch v'chatena. So the Imre Emes asks a question. We find that the Shvatim, the Pasuk says, Rashi says at the beginning, Parashas Pinchas, the Shvatim was saying about Pinchas, Risim ben Putizeh, that Pinchas was a person that came from non-Jews. How are we allowed to do so? So he says two answers. One answer, he says, that this may be only Nisad Rabbanon, and at that point, this Issa wasn't in place. Interesting teretz. The other teretz that he suggests is that they didn't say it in front of him. Since they didn't say it in front of him, that's why they were allowed to say it. The pasuk says by Paroi, the pasuk says v'yakam el chadash. Rashi offers two pshatim. Rav Shmuel, charam chadash mamish, who was a new king, v'chamish neshatzu jeresu, he changed. So we see from here that a tremendous way of making about tshuva feel good. We see that you could become chadash, you could become a new person, and what you did before doesn't count. And that's what the Mishnah here says, that we're not allowed to say it about tshuva, zechor masecha harishonim. I saw that the Pele Yoyit says, in very sharp words, he says, included in making a person feel bad is by calling a person by his family name. A person should be called, that's how people feel good, by calling them by their first name. And therefore, unless it's the minig hamakom that everybody's called by the last name, it's not what should be done. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, Tana Rabbanan, v'leisoinu ish esamisoi, anos advarim kosu b'daber. The Torah is teaching us that you're not allowed to bother somebody just with words. And the Chavetz Chaim says that this lav includes, even if it doesn't bother the person whom you're speaking about, if you're still not allowed to speak that way. Ask the Gemara, perhaps I know only by words, not by only by money, not with words. Shomer v'chisimkur memkel amisecha akana miyad amisecha harei anos mamon omer haman mikayim l'son ishus amisai by anos tvarim. It's speaking about anos tvarim. Haketzid, what does that mean? Imhay about tshuva. If the person that we're speaking about is about tshuva, ayam elazuchah masecha rishonim. Don't say to him, remember how you were before. Imhay ben gerim. If the person is about gerim, al yom eloi, don't say to him, zechor masecha rishonim, masecha, look where you come from. Im ger ba'al olam de'tayra, am I ger ba'al olam de'tayra? If he's a ger and he wants to learn Torah, al yom eloi, you should not recite him, be'a sh'ochel neveles v'treifis, shkotzer remoshim, somebody who ate non-kosher foods, should be ba'al olam de'tayra, should never appear gvura. So the Mashar says, from here we see how strict we have to be about kosher food. And what the Mashar means to say is that somebody who had a non-kosher diet is not an individual who is able to grow in ruchnius. And that's maybe where you would discourage him. We're not allowed to say that. A person is suffering. He's not well. He lost his children. What you may not do is the way Eov's friends, that Eov we know is the paradigm of a person who suffered. And what happened was when Eov lost his children, the pasuk says that his friends came to console him. For 7 days they sat without talking, and then Eov began to speak and cursed the day he was born. And what his friends said to him, "Halo yirusecha kislosecha tikvasecha v'taim drachecha zuchana ki naki oved." What they said from him was, "It's obvious that your Yerushalayim is not correct, and your hoping in Hashem is incorrect. Because if it were, all of this would have never happened. A person may never ever speak that way." In my chamarim of action tefuah mimenu, if people who are carrying donkey drivers want to buy from him grain, don't tell him go somewhere else. What you're trying to do is embarrass that person, because they're saying to him that go there, and then when you'll ask him, he won't have, and he'll feel bad. Don't go to buy something when you know that you can't possibly buy it because you don't have the money to buy it with. The only one that really knows the truth, what your intentions were, are the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kol Dava Mosel Aleiv, Nema Bava Yireisa Malakecha. If it's between you and Hashem, you have to be really careful. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Ben Yochai, The sin for bothering people with speech is even more significant than a nars mammon. Shezeh nemar by a nars dvarim, the pasuk says v'yiresi malakecha, v'zeh loy nemar by v'yiresi malakecha. Rabbi Elazar Omer, zeh begufay, here you're bothering the person himself. Zeh memaynay, money is always replaceable, and since it's replaceable, it's not as serious as the damage you do to a person that to a person himself. So Tysus asks that a nas mammon is also affects the person. If I get hurt, it can make me sick. Says the Marshal, says Tysus, and this is maybe the way we're supposed to live, that somebody who suffers a financial loss, as bothersome as it is, it isn't something that's it's not something that should really be taken so to heart. This is something that is taken to heart. Shmuel Abba Amar, Zeh, when it's a nas mammon nitin lishavin, as we're being able to return it, Vzeh, loy nitin lishavin. And I saw that the Shita says that even if you bother a person and you speak to them not nicely, you could ask mechila, the words that you said can never be taken back. Tani Tana, Kamed Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Anybody who embarrasses somebody publicly, it's as if he spilled his blood. I'm like, Shapa Kamrit, what you're saying is correct. The Chazinale, what happens when you embarrass somebody? First, Ozel Sumka, first his face turns red, and then after his face turns red, then it turns white. The Shari Tshuva says that the Pasha Pshat is, like we said, the pain that the color of your face changes. The other Pshat that the Shari Tshuva suggests is that the pain that's suffered by being embarrassed is the same pain as when somebody, Chas V'Shalom, dies. Amalei Ba'ilah of Dimi, B'maravi B'mai Zahiri, and it's a scroll, what was the thing that they were most careful about? Amalei Ba'achvrei Api, they were careful never to embarrass somebody. Dama Rav Chanina, Hakel Yardim L'Gehenim Chutz L'Shloisha. Hakel Sakadatach, to ask the Gemara, does everybody go to Gehenim? Ela Eima, Kol HaYardim L'Gehenim, everybody goes to Gehenim, Oilim, will come out. Chutz M'Shloisha, the three individuals, Shiyardim, that end up in Gehenim, V'Ena Oilim, they never leave. V'Elein Abal HaShishish, somebody who has an adulterous relationship, what we're speaking about here, somebody who gives a nickname to somebody that is very embarrassing. Ask the Gemara, but isn't this all the same? Isn't this all the same? Answers the Gemara, the din of Mechana Shem L'Chaveroi even applies in a situation where the person, even in a situation, says the Gemara, of a person that everybody calls that name, if it's a not nice name, it should never be called. The Gra says that the Gemara Masechta Bracha says, if a person needs to rely on other people, kilu donu b'shnei dinim. Shnemar hekafta enish l'rishenu, bonu b'eish u'b'mayim. And he explains the fact that a person is embarrassed, that he has to rely on other people, and that causes his face, the color of his face, to change. That's called bonu be'esh u'b'mayim. The pasuk says, "We got vasisa alasecha habasa v'adam." So Emma says that what does that mean? We're learning now that when a person gets embarrassed, the color of his face changes. So says the Gemara that even though it's terrible to get embarrassed, and of course we're not going to embarrass somebody, but the pain of getting embarrassed, of your face changing, habos of Adam, is equal to tasisa v'alasecha v'adam. The Sifsei Tzadik writes in his Tzavah, he quotes his grandfather, Chedush Erim. He says that in Warsaw, there was a person that they used to call him the Black Reuven. Apparently, this person's name was Reuven, and he had a black complexion. And he writes that a person should write that his grandfather, the Chedusha Rim, who used to be bothered to a great degree when he would hear people call this individual by that name. He would say, the Gemara says here, and how careful we have to be not to do so.